What's going on, Boiler Nation? It's Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page, the Boiler Breakdown X channel, and on the Boiler Breakdown YouTube channel. Please hit that like, subscribe, follow, notification bell on YouTube if you haven't already. Follow us on all social media platforms at Boiler Break Pod if you haven't already. And if you're listening to this at a later time on your favorite audio podcast platform, please give us that 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate it. Starting off, we are an affiliate for the Big Banter Sports. We are their affiliate for Purdue football and men's basketball. Joined them at the end of January, and we couldn't be happier to be a part of their network, chopping up with the other Big Ten affiliate podcast and even the Illinois podcast last night. Had a little back and forth with them on X, so really enjoying being a part of their network so far, and looking forward to more things to come. With all that said, I'm Tanner Lee, joined by one of my co-hosts, Andrew Eiler. Andrew, what's going on?
Not much. How are you, Tan?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Boilermakers are back-to-back outright Big Ten champs. First team in the conference to do so since 07. The first team in conference to do so by multiple games back-to-back years since the Hoosiers in the 1970s.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that it's been 15 years since back-to-back champs.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a little over 15 years, 07. Because when Ohio State did it, one of those years, they only did it by a game. So that's why you got to go clear back to the 70s for back about outright champs by multiple game margins. So, it's been a heck of a last 5 days for Purdue basketball.
Yeah, that one, I don't know what you had your thoughts going into last night, but I was not overly optimistic.
No, I was not at all. Caleb Gerald on Facebook says BTFU, always 24/7. No, I was not optimistic at all going into Illinois last night. I hadn't been for weeks. On paper, I'm like, it's going to be their senior night. They're going to be ranked pretty high. We'll be ranked pretty high. You know, I didn't know at the time if the Big Ten title would be on the line or how that was going to look. Fortunately, with taking care of Michigan State Saturday by a score 80-74, Purdue at least clinched a tie of their Big Ten record 26th. Conference championship, but I know that made my dad even more nervous going into last night's game, because he's like, there's not much to play for, which I was the devil's advocate, and I said, well, actually, I still think there's a lot to play for, because say Purdue would have dropped last night, then dropped the game against Wisconsin, Illinois wins last night and then beats Iowa this weekend, then you're tied, and Illinois gets the tiebreaker in the Big Ten tournament. They would have been the one seed, Purdue would have been the two seed. Then say Purdue loses on Friday, the Big Ten tournament, they probably are then all of a sudden a two seed in the NCAA tournament instead of a one.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. If Purdue lost three straight to end the season, I don't think there's any way to stay a one. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I know their margin right now. I think now they're pretty safe. I mean, unless they just get like embarrassed in the first day of the round of the
Big Ten tournament.
But yeah.
Ray here on Facebook agrees, the same here, prepared myself for a loss and then sole champion with win over Wisconsin. Yeah, absolutely. But the Boilers had other plans with a 77-71 victory last night in Champaign. And I was thinking today, Andrew, that's got to be, at least as I've been a Purdue fan, that's one of the better road wins I've ever seen Purdue have.
I was thinking about, I mean,
that's Purdue's best win of the year, you think, right?
Yeah, I mean – the neutral court game against Arizona was pretty good, and Tennessee, looking back on it.
But again,
neutral versus at, like you just said, at Illinois.
At Illinois, Illinois.
That was my thought. I mean, because it was going into, I mean,
was that the first game
Purdue wasn't favored since? Were they favored at Wisconsin when Wisconsin was number six?
I think Purdue was favored at Wisconsin, Man, I don't know. That's a good question.
That might have probably their first game since like November that they weren't favored in.
I would assume so. Yeah. Yeah. Caleb Gerald here on Facebook. I know guards are playing much better, but beyond the killer attitude is with this team, unlike last year, showed against Illinois at the end of the game. Yeah, that was my big takeaway last night. Not only I mean, of course, Zach Edey always wants the ball. He's the best player in the country. But all four other guys on the court, Mason Gillis, Lance Jones, Fletcher Lawyer, Brayden Smith, the ball, and none of them are scared this year to take that big shot.
Lance to a fault sometimes, it seems like.
Yeah. You live and die by the sword a little bit by Lance. Luckily, we've lived by it a lot more. But, yeah, I yelled pretty loud of that.
What the heck was he doing?
I don't know what he was doing. Just dribble it out a little longer and don't try an acrobatic layup.
Like, if it was a
wide open, maybe he thought it was going to be wide open, like they were going to, like, hammer him and foul him. I don't know, but
yeah, it was
when he took it
around the corner, I'm like, oh, he might have, like, a wide open layup. And then I was like, nope, he's going to get hammered or
contested.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, pretty lucky.
It worked out.
Very lucky they have a 7'4 big man there to tap it back out. I guess a lot of teams don't have that luxury. But, yeah, what a grinder of a win last night. And I know we were talking in our group message. I felt pretty good that Purdue was only down a handful of points, six to be exact, at halftime last night, because I did not think Purdue played good at all in the first half.
I didn't either. It felt like,
and then I think they showed it maybe at like the under 8 or something like that, or maybe it was like around the under 12. Edie had scored 14 points. He was like 7 of 11, and the rest of the team was like 2 for 14 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of Edie and nobody else.
Then they picked it up
a little bit toward they finished the second half a little, or first half a little bit better.
The rest of the team did.
But Edie, I mean, I didn't realize Edie didn't shoot free throws until like the 12-minute mark of the second half or something.
I didn't even realize so after the game that Illinois shot 7 more free throws than Purdue.
Yeah, Edie only shot 4
free throws, I think, which is nuts.
Yeah, that's absurd. But I was a little nervous when Zach picked up his third last
night.
Yeah,
that happened like fairly early, like there were maybe what, like 12 minutes left in the game or something.
That was the narrative of the first matchup against Illinois, was Zach got in foul trouble with 4 fouls to where he only had 10 points against them. But that was the Trey Kaufman-Wren game. Trey dropped 23 on him. He didn't have one of his better efforts last night, but how about the play of Fletcher Lawyer the last couple games all of a sudden?
Always. I mean,
I don't know. I
know people were down on him earlier, and then I went through a slump, but I don't know. I didn't feel like he was that bad the last couple weeks as much as, I mean, I know he wasn't making open shots, but it was just,
I don't know. It wasn't as bad
as I don't think people were making it seem clearly. And then, yeah, now the last two games he's been on a roll. Let's see. Two for three last night, and what was he against Michigan State? Like 3 for 5
Michigan
or
State
something.
Michigan State was 5 for 9 for the field, 4 for 6 from behind the arc for 15 points. And also against Michigan State, let's see here. We had – that's Edie had 32 points and 11 rebounds. Braden Smith – my computer keeps – screwing up on the box score. Brayden Smith at 23 points, 9 rebounds. Against Michigan State, Lawyer 15 points, like we said. Those were the only 3 in double digits scoring.
Yeah,
that
was strange. The Michigan State game, it was just Smith, Edie, and Lawyer. That was it. And then
Gillis got
going a little bit toward the end, didn't he?
Yeah. Gillis got going. He ended up with, He ended up with 7
points.
He had a couple threes. But, I mean, yeah. And I think in the first half, it was – Michigan State was like Kaufman scored the first bucket of the game. I think he was the only – maybe Gillis had like a free throw or something in the first half, and everything else was just Smith, Lawyer, and Edie.
Yep.
Jones got a free throw at the very end.
Yeah, it hasn't been Lance's best
outings
the last two, but I would rather him turn it on here in 2 weeks than do it right now. So he did hit a big one last night. He had 7 points last night. Only 2 for 9 shooting, 2 for 6 from behind the arc. But that last one was big to get Purdue up 6 at the time.
Yeah. I didn't realize. So Purdue went 8 of 10 in the second half from 3. Is that right?
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
And they didn't miss. So they didn't miss the last like 4 minutes because Gillis hit a big one. Jones hit a big one. Fletcher hit 2, didn't he?
He had one to start then, the second half, then one towards the end, and then Smith hit the dagger. Absolute dagger. I can't believe the improvement Braden Smith from last year to this year in about every category that you can think of.
Yeah. No, it's pretty funny. Just thinking back to
him as a recruit
to where, he was kind of a late offer, wasn't he? Like, he was one, like, if Purdue was going to offer or not. Like, it was kind of up in the air. Like, Purdue saw him a whole bunch, but didn't really offer for a while. Is that right?
Yeah, it was his junior year, and when Purdue offered, they were by far his biggest offer. It was like Purdue and a bunch of mid-majors. And I know when Purdue offered, Mark Few and Gonzaga, they were kind of sniffing around. I don't think they ever offered. But then Purdue offered, and he committed pretty quickly after that. And then he went on to have a heck of a senior season at Westfield and become Mr. Basketball. And the rest is history. So,
yep.
Looking at the bench last night, Gillis, 10 points off the bench. And that was the only bench scoring that Purdue got. Camden Heidi, 0. Caleb First, 0. Ethan Morton, 0.
Is that a concern at all for you the last couple? Because, I mean, like, Michigan State is the same thing. I mean, outside of Gillis hitting a couple threes toward the end, it was really nothing off the bench.
Well, I think my concern is the other guys aren't – they're not shooting. Camden didn't attempt a shot. First attempted one, and Morton none. But, that's constant with Ethan Morton. But I will say Camden Heidi's starting to turn into a pretty good defensive weapon for Purdue out there too. So –
It's just more of, I guess, First and Kaufman Ren are ones that I'm more of because, okay, somebody needs to step up. Edie plays a lot, but, like,
if he gets into foul
trouble, he can only play 30 minutes or 28 minutes instead of 36.
What does Purdue do on
offense for that 10 minutes when he's got to sit?
Yeah, exactly.
Fortunately, they haven't had that very
often this year because he's done a really good job of not fouling outside of a handful of games. Even with
the amount of minutes he's playing and everything.
But
and then maybe it's just coupled with the fact that
Lance Jones, maybe it was covered up more early in the season because they were getting
20-point games
every now and then, it seemed like, from Jones, where it seemed like Fletcher or Jones was going off, and then Gillis would hit a few threes so that they'd have more balance that way. It just seems way –
I don't know, being nitpicky,
but it just seems the last couple of games has been very top heavy with Smith, Lawyer, and Edie, which is fine. Obviously, if they're your three best players, they're going to score the most of your points, but
hope to have a little spurts again
of Gillis thrown in 12 and then Kaufman Ren getting like 8 or Heidi hitting a couple threes. I know he hasn't shot much recently because it's not his role yet, but.
And it's interesting, you know, we haven't seen other teams go as deep into their bench as Purdue very often, but Illinois played 10 guys last night.
I saw someone on the board.
They wondered if someone like Danger got hurt.
He only played 7 minutes.
And I don't think he really played much in the second half.
Mm-mm, they put Hansberry in for 4 minutes. He had 4 fouls.
Yeah, I mean, and I think I read.
I did listen to some of Underwood's press conference, and I think Underwood literally said that they
put him in to
foul because they didn't want – I think what his comment was, he was like, oh, Edie's not a very good foul shooter. I think it's like word for word what he said.
Which, I mean, okay. He's a
72% free throw shooter, which, yeah.
It's pretty good for his size, especially.
He's really good for a 7'4" guy, but, like, I guess, like, yeah, he's not an automatic 2 points. But 70% of the time he's going to make two, but whatever.
Yeah, they put hands
very in to literally get them closer to the bonus so that he said toward the end of the second half, if they needed to foul and extend the game and get 1 point from Edie instead of 2 was better. So that way they didn't have to go get 3 fouls in the last 5 minutes or something like that to get Purdue to the bonus. That's what he said in the press conference. I was like, it seemed more likely you were trying to tire out Edie and honestly kind of hurt him because there were several of those fouls were not.
Yeah.
On the ball or basketball plays. It's pretty blatant to me, but whatever.
Exactly. But speaking of non-basketball plays, Coleman Hawkins tried to practically separate Fletcher Lawyer's shoulder early in the first half. But he, assuming that Purdue doesn't see Illinois again in the Big Ten tournament, which it would most likely be in a championship, or doesn't see them in the NCAA tournament, Coleman Hawkins last game gets the Boilermakers 33 minutes, 13 points, 9 rebounds. In a losing effort. Also had Terrence Shannon Jr., 11 points, but 3 for 13 from the field was pretty much a non-factor, especially out in transition.
Yeah. Yep.
Marcus Damask, he's a stud. That dude just plays ball. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he backs down people with his body size, but he finds a way. He was 8 for 16 from the field with 20 points. So I still don't know how Southern Illinois wasn't better last year with Marcus Damask and Lance Jones.
What was that? Yeah, seriously.
But, no, overall, very good win. Like I said, Purdue was down 40-34 at half, but outscored Illinois 43-31 in the second half for the overall victory of a combined of a total score of 77-71. So
only eight turnovers
for Purdue, which I know
that's
hammered on by the guys at Golden Black. I think even Painter talked about it in like the video, the 1 minute of him. He's like, hey, only eight turnovers, like hit our number. So I think it's basically like, hey, if we don't go have 12 or 13 turnovers and give them 15 points on fast break, it makes it a lot harder to score against Purdue, makes your defense look a lot better. And I'm trying to think, like, even of the eight turnovers,
I mean, obviously,
they said, like, Shannon was kind of a non-factor, didn't get out and run out. Like, I don't think they had, like, any, like, open court turnovers that led to easy buckets, and maybe one. I can't think of that many.
Not honestly. Too many, though.
I mean, the turnovers could be like kicking the ball out of bounds where it's a dead play. Like, yeah, it's not
a great possession, obviously,
but they didn't give them 2 points with some of the pick sixes that they have every now and then, or they have the spurts where they throw a pass at half court that gets tipped and stolen or kicked it.
Yeah, the same thing could be said against Michigan State, too, at least for a long time. Neither team had a fast break point.
First half, there was nothing, yeah.
You're right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's been Purdue's Achilles heel all year. And I think it's going to be the focal point of March, or March Madness, cause we're in March, is take care of the ball. And when Purdue gets up to that 15-ish turnover number, that's when they can get snake bitten.
I mean, that's really for anybody,
honestly, that's true. Right, but I mean, even more so for Purdue, just because they're so good offensively, it's hard for teams to keep up with them unless Purdue's giving them 20 points from fast breaks or something. Because they're not going to get – I mean, Illinois – did Purdue – Purdue did out-rebound them, but Illinois was out-rebounding Purdue in the first half and for most of the game, which has happened all season where Purdue's gotten out-rebounded or not.
I think Illinois is usually the closest one because – all their guys can rebound, not just, you know, and yeah. You know, when Purdue, okay. If Zach's not around to rim or they're taking Zach out, then Illinois is crashing the boards hard. And that was one concern I've noticed the last couple of games is when we take Edie out, Caleb first comes in, teams are really taking it to Caleb first, driving at him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Purdue's struggling with that a little bit. So they got to figure that out. But overall, I was really pleased with the defensive effort. I mean, this is an Illinois team that was scoring 80 to 90 points on everybody lately. Even over 100 against Minnesota, and I didn't think there was any way Purdue would keep them under 75.
But, no, and that's what, I mean, I thought this
game was going to be 95-90 or something like that. I thought both teams would struggle on defense, and I mean, both
were way under their
average. I think they both averaged about 85 points a game. I think Illinois was like 87, Purdue's 85 or something.
84 or something like that.
So they're both were under their season average by a good amount.
I mean, they both shot around the same field goal percentage. Illinois is 45.5, Purdue is 48.3. But the difference was 3-point shooting. Purdue's 9-for-16, Illinois is 4-for-16. And like we mentioned, both teams missed 4 free throws. Yeah. Purdue was 10-for-14, Illinois was 17-for-21.
There were Purdue had 3 fast break points, Illinois had 2.
Yep. Yep, and then going back to the Michigan State game, since we were talking about that on the fast breaks. Let's see here. Fast break points. Michigan State had 3, Purdue had 5. So just not a lot of fast break points going on in the last 2 Purdue games.
If you don't watch Purdue, it's probably what you think. They're like, oh, they're slow. They've got Edie down there. They're going to run. They're going to walk the ball up the court and give it to him on the block, which really isn't
how they play.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
But still, if you look at the game, you're like, oh, look at that. No fast break. They've had 8 fast break points the last 2 games. Like, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Purdue and Zach Edey.
But Purdue definitely found a way to shut Jordan Cornette up from his halftime comments, which I try not to make a big deal about the talking heads, but wow. He was just getting ripped, not only by me and us at the Boiler Breakdown, but other people on X too, because he just flat out said he thought that Illinois was the best team in the Big Ten. Thought they'd win the game. this and this. I mean, he did something nice about Purdue at halftime. Josh Pastor had a pipe in and say some comments. So he definitely ate his work after the game. But sometimes I just don't know how much tape they watch. I think they just look at stats.
That's how most of it is. I mean, you see that all over Twitter too. But I mean, obviously, Twitter's not a super great source or anything like that. No. But yeah, no, it's pretty embarrassing some of the takes by the basketball experts have sometimes, where it's like you said, very clearly they've not watched a single minute or more than that half or something.
Right, and you know, and I understand. Yeah. I understand going into the tournament that there's still a lot of caution around Purdue because given the history of Purdue, and I get it. I understand it. Purdue has to sit in it and they're going to hear about it until they take care of business. But I don't know about you, but I am a lot more confident right now than I was last year at this point. Purdue, that was still having a hell of a season last year at this point.
Yeah. I mean, last year, I think one of the few podcasts I've been able to be on in 24, I think we talked about how last year you kind of could sense, like, yes, they were winning.
They were just kind of.
But it was just, it was never, they never really were comfortable. And really until
Minnesota
a couple weeks ago, I think, it didn't seem like Purdue had ever really been down this year.
Right.
Like, they've been ahead
pretty much all season, it seemed like, until
Minnesota. I mean,
other than the games that they lost, clearly, were Nebraska, where they got kind of boat raced by hot shooting. But yeah, every other game, and then I don't know, Ohio State, I think I was.
They were down at Ohio State too, but yeah, they fought back to get in it. Mm-hmm.
But really, other than that,
it's been like they usually start out ahead, they get up fairly comfortably, and then they kind of keep them at distance, but are usually ahead. So they haven't really, but like in the past, last year, I agree, where it was different this year, was it just seemed like there was always like once the calendar turned from November, December into January, they were not crisp, they'd peaked, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it wasn't expected that they were going to get the number one in the country last year. It was supposed to be this year, not last year.
Right.
But.
Yeah, I think it's that. I think it's the maturity of the sophomore guards, Lawyer and Smith. I mean, just getting that experience last year, they haven't hit that wall that they did last year around this time. Lance Jones is an X factor. And I was thinking to myself, man, if they make a deep run in March, it's going to become unfamiliar territory for a lot of these guys because only Morton and Edie have been to a Sweet 16. But at the same time, you know, Brian Newbert of Golden Black even has spoke on this last night. This is the most confident Purdue team he's covered. And I think that says a lot. So I don't think they're going to be scared of any big moment.
No, hopefully not. The only thing I'm, again, like you said, that going into the tournament and kind of Purdue having to prove it, yes, Purdue looks and feels a lot better going into it, but still felt good last year, obviously. But really, quite honestly, until Purdue beats that 16 seed, I don't know.
I'm right there with you.
Feel good at all? Yep. Yeah.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And you know, even with the Midwest, I mean, they were in Columbus last year, which was not too far away, but being the – Midwest number one seed, which I think that's going to happen pretty much no matter what. They'll be in Indianapolis for round one and two, which definitely won't hurt. And if they're able to get past that and into the regional, then it's in Detroit, which won't hurt either. So they couldn't ask for really a better setup there, but it's just going to be about taking care of business. I mean, they're going to hear a lot of noise, but they've heard noise all year and they've embraced it. They've embraced it.
Yeah, and that's what
I don't know. Obviously, really like Matt Painter. He's always been really good about it. I mean, even last night, I did listen to some of his post game, and he talked about it. He's like, I honestly don't even want to talk about like
that game. That's probably different
because he's like, don't want to take anything away from them. Like they clearly beat us. Like that was like a great for them. And I don't know. I think he just does really well with it. I mean, it'd be incredibly hard and to constantly hear that for forever, I guess.
Yeah, well, and he's taken like a different approach, I feel like, than Tony Bennett and Virginia did in 2019 after they lost to UMBC the year before in 2018 because Virginia kept, you know, they heard about it all year, but they never really came out and spoke about it. Then they just took care of business in March. Unfortunately, Purdue was one of those teams that took care of business in the Elite Eight. Because that Virginia team, it's still unbelievable. They should have lost to Purdue. They should have lost to Auburn and should have lost to Texas Tech. And they found a way to win each of those games to win a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully the chips fall Purdue's way like it did.
Yeah, hopefully
history repeats itself. Hopefully.
But one more regular season game. Send the seniors off on a right note. Mac Arena this Sunday, 12:30 Eastern time on CBS. So another national game. A senior day for Zach Edey, Ethan Morton, Mason Gillis, Lance Jones, Chase Martin, and Carson Barrett, I believe is his first name.
Barrett,
I don't have
yeah.
it up there. Yeah, Barrett. But they became they tied a program record for Big Ten wins last night. So they can become the all-time Big Ten winningest class
in program
history. Yeah. And that was I had a stroke of getting that one out there. But I'm feeling good about this game. You was able to get a win in the Kohl Center the first time these two teams matched up, which was back last month on February 4th, 75-69, which that game got a lot closer at the end than it should have. A lot of weird things going on. Looking at the history of this series since January of 99, this series is dead even at 21 games apiece. But at Mac Arena produced 14-4 against the Badgers since 1999. So pretty good track record. But if history says anything, it's going to be pretty close. The last game of West Lafayette actually got to go back to the 21-22 season because Purdue only played Wisconsin once last year and was in Madison. So the 21-22 season, Purdue lost at home to Wisconsin 74-69. They did beat them the year before 2020-2021, 73-69. And then boat raced them in 1920, 70-51. Even though that Purdue team wasn't very good. So, yeah, feeling good about this. I know Wisconsin's got one game left before they head down to West Lafayette to take on the Boilers. But
there's been a bit of a
free fall since that
yes, Purdue they have.
Game. I mean, they had lost. I didn't realize they lost to Nebraska right before that Purdue game. So when Purdue went up there, they're number six in the country. And since that loss, they are 2-5.
They host Rutgers tomorrow night. Got to think they'll probably get that one. But, yeah, they're definitely on a free fall. I feel good about Purdue's chances. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if Purdue handles business on Sunday, they become the third team to go undefeated for their home games, joining the 2010-11 or 10-11 team and the 18-19 team. So. Yeah.
Which, I mean, clearly.
I mean, that's always the goal. I mean, go undefeated at home. I mean, I didn't realize it's only been done three times. I just didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, like even the – we got to think.
It's recent history because it seems like Purdue hasn't lost at Mackey in, like, 8 years.
Yeah, last year they lost twice, the Rutgers and Indiana.
And Indiana, yeah, that's true.
Year before was Wisconsin, like you mentioned.
It just seems like they never lose at
home.
Oh,
yeah, no. It's the outlier was the 1920 season, which ended up not even having an NCAA tournament. I think Purdue lost four or five home games that year, which was really wild.
Did you say 1920?
1920.
You said that before, and I was like, 1920?
I meant 2020. No, I don't remember. I got some gray hair, Andrew, but I'm not that old. Jeez.
Like, I don't think Mackey was around in 1920.
No, it was not. Late 1960s. Rick Mount era, which Rick Mount, even those teams found a way to lose one game at Mackey.
It happened, especially when they're playing 20 Big Ten games now. So.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, next year is going to be still interested to see how that's all going to shake out with the travel schedule with basketball with the new West teams coming in. But
yeah,
people a lot smarter than me have that job of figuring that out. So, Wisconsin could come in and upset Purdue. I'm not saying it's not possible. Anything's possible, but I think it would take a pretty crazy effort. I mean, I could really see Zach Edey trying to go for his career high in points on Sunday.
What is it, 40?
I think 36 is his career high.
I thought he had 38 like a week ago.
I thought it was 36. But he missed some free throws late that could have extended his points.
I swear he had like 38 against like Michigan or something or Rutgers.
It was one of those two. He had mid to high 30s.
He had 35 against Michigan.
Maybe 35 is career high.
25 against Rutgers.
So you're 35 or 36, but I'd love to see him get 40. That'd be cool. But if he's getting 40, it might be that much of a blowout where he doesn't play a ton.
So that's where I'm almost tempted. Like, what do you think about, resting? I mean, because, easy to get a little banged up against Illinois.
Yeah, he did.
Kind of gimpy.
And that fall at the end scared me to death when he landed on his back.
And he grabbed his hip and back. And
Fletcher was a little.
And I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to, like, who did they blow out? Like Michigan the first time at Mackey when Purdue got up like 20 at halftime. And
first and
Colvin and Heidi and.
Berg,
play like the last 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I'd be good with that and give the guys rest up till Friday, the Big Ten tournament. How do you feel about the Big Ten tournament? What's your strategy? Yeah, take going in, because I know some people don't want to win it because, Purdue won it last year, gets knocked out first round by 16. I think the last three Big Ten tournament champions haven't made it to the Sweet 16, but
I don't think there's anything to it, really.
I think you got to win championships if you can.
I think you don't
go into a thinking we're looking ahead. I don't think you go into a game not trying to win. Mm-hmm.
I don't think Painter's
going to play any differently, and I don't think he's going to be if they win on Friday, he's not going to be all right, Edie, you're only playing 20 minutes on Saturday because I don't want you to get hurt for Thursday in Indianapolis or something.
Right.
Plus, I don't think anybody on the Purdue team would want to do that because I think they're competitive and don't want to go into a game not playing to win.
Yeah.
You
still can raise a banner and a championship ring if you win. So,
Yeah, and it's just
proving your dominance. It's okay, Purdue. If Purdue takes care of business on Saturday or Sunday and are,
what would they be,
28-3? Yeah.
Yep.
28-3 and then get to Sunday at 30-3, 31-3, win it all. What's the record? What's the season record, Purdue, for most wins in a season?
That's a good question. I
would think if they
get to 31, if they win the Big Ten tournament and are at 31 entering the tournament and then win a couple there at least, hopefully like five would be nice. But
six. I agree. I think, this team's full of competitors. You gotta go out and try to win it. It'll be interesting to see who they end up matching up with. It's still crazy to me that Purdue and Indiana have only played one time in Big Ten tournament history, and that was in the inaugural one in 1998. That just blows my mind. They've never matched up since, because every time it looks like they're going to, one of them loses, if not both of them lose. So
maybe – I don't know. I guess I don't pay attention or know that much about, the seeding as far as, if you're the number one overall seed versus, you're the third one.
Does it matter
really who your two is in your bracket or three, four? Does it matter that much? Clearly if you're
the one
and there's a two, you're going to be playing a really good team either way.
Exactly. I think that's really nail on the head.
If you think about it that way, Purdue is still playing we want to be number one overall seed in the tournament rather than
the three or four
one seed if they were to lose on Friday to Minnesota or something.
I think the one overall seed might get to play in 16. That happened to Purdue last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather not get the play in. I'd rather get 16 seed that's first game is just against Purdue.
Yeah. Because
that's kind of backfired on Purdue in the years past, even the VCU. But going back in 2011, I know they beat Georgetown first, but
it's different with the
16 seed, obviously only winning twice. But it does seem usually the one of those play-in games from the 12 does usually come on and win a game or two after. Which
I think Evan brought this up on last week's podcast, or maybe the podcast before that. And I agree. He thinks the 16 seeds going forward, he'd like to see a change be implemented where they don't have to plan to play in game. Makes other teams plan to play out games or reward those 16 seeds for making the tournament.
Yeah, because they're the ones – they win their conference and always win, 27 games. It's just versus that 12 that won 19 games. They just happen to play in the Big East or something.
Yeah. Michigan State. Or Providence or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. Providence kind of on the bubble. Wake Forest, I know they're really on the bubble. But Michigan State did win tonight over Northwestern, if everybody out there who's watching live didn't know that. And Minnesota's up right now 23-18 on Indiana with 7:52 left in the first half. So.
UConn is up 11 at halftime on Marquette, by the way, if anybody cares by that. Kolick is still hurt. So
did Houston end up winning? They were down 3 at half to Central Florida.
Yes, they won by 8.
Okay, then they play Kansas this weekend. So,
and Tennessee won earlier.
Yep, that's South Carolina. So, but yeah, let's predict other games around the Big Ten for the week. Tomorrow night, only one game, Rutgers at Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a 9.5-point favorite.
I think though Wisconsin's in free fall, I think they will win that one.
I do too. Saturday, only one game, Minnesota at Northwestern.
I think Minnesota. I saw the bracket that came out, like, as of, I don't know, maybe it was after last night, where it was Purdue playing the winner of IU Minnesota. And I was kind of like, I don't know if I like that, because I don't know, as bad as IU is, if they were to somehow beat Minnesota, which I don't think they would if they were to play in the Big Ten tournament. I don't know. Minnesota's offense, I mean, you saw what they did against Illinois. I mean, they lost, but they scored 97 points.
And I don't know how much falling they'll have, but it's in Minneapolis. True. So, yeah, true. I mean, and going back to the IU, I mean, I think Purdue is way better than IU. I think they've shown that twice, but it's hard to beat a team three times. It really is. So, Sunday, we'll got a whole who'd you pick? I'm sorry.
Minnesota.
I'll pick Northwestern just to differ, and they're at home. So They're banged up right now, though. Sunday, we've got a whole slew of games starting at noon. Nebraska at Michigan.
Nebraska. I think Michigan's garbage.
Yeah, this would be a bad loss for Nebraska at this point in the season if they lost at Michigan. I don't see how Juwan Howard's back next year.
Yeah, who do you think they're – we'll talk about that. That's a discussion for a later time.
Yeah. 12:30, well, we'll go ahead. I usually save this for last. We'll go ahead and predict it. Yeah. Wisconsin at Purdue, score prediction and MVP for the game.
Purdue is going to win by 18. I'm going to say it's going to be
– I'm going to say 87-69 Purdue.
I like it.
I want to say Edie is MVP. I kind of want to say Gillis, honestly, but just because it's senior day, and I know technically he could come back, and it would be, I don't know, it'd be, if he wants to come back, I know there's no room.
Figure out a way if he really wanted to come back. The dude's a boiler, but.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way.
I don't know. Either.
I think Edie, as you said, Edie. I don't know. If they get him that much, I think Edie's going to. He's going to score 35,
I'm taking Purdue. Let's see here. I'll take 82-62. I don't know. Pretty convincing win. I want to say ED every game, but it's like a cheat code. I mean, so I try to think outside.
About to be two-time
consensus owner or National Player of the Year,
Yep. First one since Ralph Sampson, which I've beat that drum to death on this podcast, but I'll go with another senior in Lance Jones. I think he has a nice get-right game.
I mean, it'd be awesome if he
could score like 18, 20 going into the postseason.
Didn't he score 20 against Wisconsin the first matchup or right around 20? I know he had a pretty good game.
It seems like it's been a while since he's had like a good game.
Maybe it's just because of bad memories recent memories of Michigan State where he clearly didn't shoot well, and then
same thing last night, didn't shoot all that well, but
did a big one. But
I would love to see Braden Smith finally get that triple double that he's been oh so close to getting numerous times this year. Let's see other games. Interesting one: Ohio State at Rutgers at 2:00.
I mean,
Ohio State's kind of played under the bubble, aren't they?
I know they're not like there, but.
Even after firing Holtman,
they've kind of picked it up.
Ohio State at Rutgers. I think Diebler.
I mean, is Diebler going to try to take? There's no way he's.
I don't think he gets that job, but I think he's putting himself in position if a mid-major is looking for somebody.
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't know that John Diebler had a brother. Honestly,
I didn't either. I forgot he played at Valparaiso. So.
I'm going to pick Ohio State.
I think they've got way more to play. Way more to play for, obviously. Yeah. And
yeah, they got some momentum going. If I were other teams, I wouldn't want to see them in the Big Ten tournament. And that's the thing that was puzzling with them. We knew they had the talent all along. It's just like, why is this not gelling? And then they fire Chris, and all of a sudden they kind of take off. So
they just went on a just
dreadful stretch. I don't know the dates. I'm looking at their schedule. They lost 3 in a row, beat Penn State, then lost 5 in a row.
So in that time, they were
1-8 between, I don't know when that was, probably January.
Yeah, that kind of sealed his fate right there.
Yeah.
So.
But then since
I don't know when they fired him, which it was right before Purdue was the first game, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So Diebler's gone 4-1.
Yeah.
At Rutgers.
Yeah. It's pretty good improvement.
Yeah.
CBS game here, 4:30, Michigan State at Indiana, who it was announced that Mike Woodson will be returning for the 2024-25 season.
Michigan State, but I don't know. It'll be interesting
to see because what the team's buy-in is if they, I don't know.
Yeah.
Clearly it's not really
been a good year. It's not really worked out what everybody had hoped down there. And now with Woodson coming back, which was kind of expected. I mean, it's his first year not making the tournament likely in
3 years. So
it's not really,
like I think like you had said,
it's not a good habit to get into of firing coaches in their third year because they didn't make the tournament that 1 year.
I'm taking Michigan State in a close one, though. It wouldn't shock me if Indiana won that game, to be honest. A really good one here, I think. So it's got to be a good one, I think. Illinois at Iowa at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
These two teams do not like each other.
I want to
pick Iowa. Yeah,
we know it's going to be high scoring.
I want to pick Iowa. I'm going to pick Iowa.
I'll pick Iowa, too.
Just because I'd love
to see Illinois lose and have Purdue win by, what would that be, if it were 4 games? Win the Big Ten by 4 if they win and Illinois loses?
Yeah, I believe so. And they won the conference by 3 last year. So,
which is what it was kind of predicted.
I remember at the start, when it hit December, when Ken Pom was like, man, the Big Ten is garbage outside of Purdue. And Ken Pom was predicting Purdue to win by like 5
No way.
And then, of course, Purdue starts off with 2 losses early, and it's like, great, now Wisconsin's going to run away with it. That's where we are. Yeah. How much has it changed in 3 months? Yeah.
It's college basketball. I'll go with you with Iowa there. And then the last Big Ten regular season game of the year, Maryland at Penn State.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Who cares? I'll take Penn State at home.
Yeah, Penn State.
Seriously, screw Maryland.
Their fans can be kind of nasty sometimes. But, it's been an interesting year around the Big Ten. I still think – I think the Big Ten gets I think they get 6 teams in, maybe 7. I think 6.
So Purdue,
Illinois, Michigan State.
Purdue, Illinois, Northwestern, Michigan State. Yeah. Wisconsin, maybe 7 then, because
honestly though, I don't know what Wisconsin's
non-conference. They're 18-11, 10-8 in the Big Ten. If they lose, I mean, they're probably in because they're in the Big Ten and they were number 6 in the country 2 months ago. But still, like
10-9 in the Big Ten,
I would think, and like 18-12 overall, like
I know,
scream, like,
it doesn't scream like automatically in.
And you look at Nebraska, which I have them in, but they've. Mm-hmm. They're awesome at home, but they're terrible away from their home arena.
I just don't know like that much about their non-conference. So. But I honestly, outside of Purdue and Illinois, it's just more of like, I'm sure though. I know they'll get more than that in. Like clearly, like Michigan.
I was the interesting one. I was climbed onto the bubble now.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be 7 if they could get in, because Nebraska does have a road win at Kansas State in a non-con that's been aging pretty well for them. Because that was my thing against Michigan State this whole time. And I know they play tough non-conference schedules. I'm like, besides Baylor, they didn't do anything non-conference. But I think winning tonight probably helps them get on the right side of the ball. If they lost tonight, then lost in the end, I think they would really be hurting going into the Big Ten tournament. But they weren't. So, yep.
Yeah, so Purdue, Illinois, I think Nebraska probably. I mean, Nebraska might finish third in the Big Ten.
Yeah, yeah. Northwestern, yeah, because Northwestern lost tonight. So, yeah, that's crazy. Who would have guessed Northwestern Nebraska would be finishing top five Big Ten?
Is Painter going to be the runaway coach, the Big Ten coach of the year this year, or is it going? Are they going to give it to?
They're like going to get. Oh, it's going to be Hoiberg. It's going to be Hoiberg. Yeah. It's going to be Hoiberg. Yeah. No doubt about it. I get it, but I don't like it. Yeah. Just like last year.
Last year was a bad one. I mean, I get it
too. Purdue was not expected to win the conference by three games. This year they were, so
yes. Yes.
Which again, not Painter's fault that it was like, well, everybody else just sucks.
Yeah. But I'll be more upset if Braden Smith doesn't make first team all Big Ten, to be honest. The way
I don't think there's any way he can't.
Yeah. I would hope not, but of course Edie will be Big Ten player of the year. I think he's got case to be defense player. He won't win it, but I think he's got case. He should be all first team defense.
Mm-hmm.
But because I just laugh how opposing fan bases always think he fouls so much. If you watch replays, he does a pretty good job staying straight up.
And like you look at Purdue's defense, like turnovers forced, Purdue is like
the almost the bottom in the
NCAA at turnovers forced because they don't foul, because they don't try for it. So then that's the trade off. We're not forcing turnovers, but we're not fouling and giving you free points.
It's so different from like 14 years ago when Chris Kramer and Keaton Grant were going after it in the backcourt. But the rules were different there too.
Exactly. Yeah. So, those guys, you couldn't do that today. Yeah.
So here's a question Evan posed to me last week, and I really liked it. And so I'm going to pose it to you. If you could pick any Purdue player from the past that was not a first team All Big Ten or a first team All American type player to be on this year's team, who would you pick and why? That takes out a lot of guys. I get it, but.
Mm-hmm.
Any
from how far? How far back?
Oh, whenever. I mean, but they couldn't be a first team All Big Ten or first team All American type player. So no.
No Etwan.
No Etwan, Juwan, Robbie, Swanigan.
Like Carl Landry.
Yeah.
Carl Andrews, first team All Big Ten.
I know. No Carl Landry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. My first thought, you said Keaton Grant. That was my first kind of thought, honestly.
Because Evan said Kramer, and I argued, I agreed for a second, then argued, well, with the new rules, Chris would really have to tone it down.
Yeah, I was thinking of Keaton
Grant because he's another shooter, and he's long and a good defender and a good just rebounder. But I don't know who, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of. I was trying to think of, okay, well,
who would be like a good
power forward to go with Edie? Because I mean, clearly, like Smith and Lawyer and Jones. That's the only thing. I mean, Jones, I know. Yeah. Nothing against him, but okay, of Jones and Kaufman, I guess. If you're trying to replace a starter, I guess those would be the two.
The guy I went with for the exact reasons you said, Keaton Grant. I went with David Teague.
Yeah, he wasn't first team ever.
Never a first team All Big Ten.
Okay.
He might have been first team defense once or twice, but and you know Kenny Lowe would be a fun one. But same way, he was pretty aggressive defender. And another one would be Dakota Mathias would fit this team pretty good too. The way he played, so.
Yeah, I know. I was trying.
But it was interesting.
Yeah,
was Vince Edwards, was he ever?
He was never first team All Big Ten, but he'd be a good one. He's a Swiss Army knife.
3-4, yeah. I mean, he's like, he'd be like Mason Gillis, but just a little bit taller, maybe not as good of a rebounder, but.
Because I was just trying to think, when I picked T, I was trying to think of somebody who could really defend and shoot the perimeter.
Yeah.
From the perimeter.
That's exactly what I
thought with Keaton Grant, too. I mean, same thing, yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be. I mean, this is exciting time of year.
Now that
I said Vince Edwards, I want Vince Edwards instead.
Vince, Swiss Army knife, you can do a little bit of everything. So, this is always an exciting time of year, but it's also sad thinking that it is this team's last home game, last time to see one of Purdue's greatest players, maybe greatest player ever, depending on how his career ends here.
And maybe after
next championship game.
Does Edie fall on your Mount Rushmore?
Yep, because he's definitely on the Mount Rushmore, but I don't know exactly where he lines up.
National Player of the Year.
I mean, hard to not be. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and just his story and everything's pretty remarkable. But it's always a sad time here because you know the journey's almost over, but it's also a fun time of year because we're about to get into what really, really matters. So, So switching gears a little bit, Purdue football, not a ton going on, but Tyrone Tracy Jr. helped himself big time. It looked like at the NFL Combine, he ran a pretty good 40 time, but on top of that 40 time, he measured out really good in some other drills as far as running backs are concerned. And let me pull this up so I don't get it wrong here. He was, let's see here. He ran a 6.81 second three-cone drill, which ranked best among running backs. He ran a 4.06 second 20-yard shuttle, which ranked second among running backs. He had a 40-inch vertical leap, which ranked second among running backs. So love to see him take care of that opportunity, take advantage, of that opportunity for himself. And hopefully he gets drafted there on day three.
Yeah, no, it'd be pretty cool. I mean, another great story coming from Iowa to Purdue, and just like Charlie Jones, kind of.
Tracy didn't do anything in Iowa, right?
I think he did. He played more than Charlie Jones did, other than punt return, but it wasn't much. And then to come out and put yourself on the potential. I mean, I don't know. I think he's pretty safe. He's going to get drafted toward the end. I mean, I don't think he's.
Well, and it was so smart of him to go to the new coaching staff and say, hey, I want to be utilized as a running back instead of wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, smart.
Yeah, and it worked out. And it worked out really well for Purdue. So.
I believe if he gets drafted, it would be Purdue's first running back drafted, I believe, since Mike Allstott.
Because Mostert wasn't a running back.
He wasn't drafted. Nope.
I mean, Corey Sheets wasn't drafted. Because he was a wide receiver.
Corey Sheets wasn't drafted. Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't had a whole.
No, they haven't. So it's definitely not a. When you think Purdue football, you don't think great running backs right away.
Even the guys that were really good, like you said, like Corey Sheets.
College running backs, yeah. Even had a cup of coffee in the pros, but they had to do it from the undrafted route. So Purdue did have their pro day, I believe, today, but I don't know. I did not read up on how anybody did. I didn't see any reports.
I didn't hear anything, actually. Yeah,
I think they had a bunch of linemen going, and then like Sanusi Kane and
Cam Allen, which Cameron Cam Day Allen here. And it's a running joke with him on the podcast. He said, "What was Cam Allen's 40 time at the combine? 6.7." Well, it'd be a Purdue's pro day because he didn't get invited to the combine. Yeah. So, but it'll be interesting. But besides that, not a lot going on the Purdue football front. It's spring ball. Spring practice gets start here soon though, because. So the spring game is the middle of April. So,
I think
it's like 2 weeks. I
want to say like March 19th they start practice.
I know they're in the workouts and the weights and all that right now. So So we'll have more to talk about that. Because that is one thing. Being part of Big Banter Sports, you can look for us to pump out at least one episode a month in the off season. Whereas years past, maybe we did one or two episodes through the whole off season. So they still might be more fun episodes like trivia episodes or maybe interviews or something, but we're going to try to do at least one a month during the off season to keep everybody up to date with the latest going on with Purdue football and men's basketball. But before I get to our sponsor reads, Andrew, you got anything else you want to hit on or mention?
Nope. I'm good.
Yep. I am good too. I'm feeling good in my Purdue retro Purdue Pete. It's actually a football hat. I can't get too close to my camera there for people to see. And I got this, of course, from one of our sponsors, The Shop. The Shop's been with us for a couple years now, and they're located in, they got three retail locations, Carmel, Broad Ripple, and downtown Indianapolis is their newest location. They opened 2011. They've brought everybody vintage-inspired sports, collegiate, and pop culture apparel made from the highest quality materials. They're based in Indianapolis, Indiana. Their dedicated team is here to serve us at their retail locations and at their headquarters. They take a holistic approach to the design and manufacturing process to make sure that each item is not just a product, but a reflection of the person who owns it. So take advantage and get, whether you're a Purdue fan and need something new for March Madness, or you're a fan of a different college, maybe you're an NES State fan, hoping they can make a good run in the Missouri Valley and get themselves in the tournaments. Maybe Butler makes a run in the Big East tournament. Ball State makes a run in the MAC. Hey, you got to win your first. So they got all different of those collegiate teams. They got Pacers gear. They got Colts-inspired gear. They got Indiana pop culture gear. What I'm saying is use our promo code breakdown for 25% off your first order. That's online at theshopindy.com. You will not be disappointed. Their apparel is very comfortable to wear, and you will look great in it as well. And this podcast would not be possible without the help of our other sponsor, which has been on board for a handful of years, just like the shop has, and that is Mad Mush. Mad Mushroom for everybody. Look at me calling him Mad Mush. Mad Mushroom's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're in the heart of West Lafayette and known as the home of the original cheese sticks. But whenever Andrew, myself, or Evan visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out the latest pizza of the month, which for the month of March is the Chicken Caprese. It's a blended tomato sauce with chicken, chopped garlic, fresh spinach, grated Parmesan cheese, mozzarella cheese, and fresh mozzarella pearls, finished with basil and a balsamic glazed drizzle. And that is starting at a price of $14. So next time you're in town, tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5. That's in all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. And once again, we want to thank them and the shop for being the sponsors all season long of the Boiler Breakdown podcast. That said, Andrew, let's boiler up, hammer down, and beat the Badgers.